Good morning. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you that we can seek you for a face first thing in the morning. We just invite the Holy Spirit to be in the sanctuary this morning. I just also pray that the words that are coming out of my mouth are not mine, but yours, Lord God, and that I'll be able to convey your heart. We just thank you for everything that you've given us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, the past few Sundays, we've been sharing on the topic of anxiousness and worry. And this is something I'm especially prone to. If you ask my wife, I'm worried about a whole multitude of things, about my job situation, about my family. I'm always worried. So the sermon series was very adept and very appropriate for me. And I was meditating about this, I was asking myself, why? Why am I always anxious? Why am I always worried? And upon reflection, a lot of times it's because I lack a complete understanding of God's heart and God's character. And it's hard to trust someone who you can't completely understand his heart for. And we may sin for the same reason. We lack faith in the character of God. We may not understand in our heads, and more importantly, in our hearts, the relationship that he wants with us and the intensity of the love that he has for us. So while I was preparing for this devotional, I knew I wanted to share on the book of Hosea because it encapsulates just how incredible, just how reckless, and how unconditional his love is for us. And this morning, I'd just like to remind us and share that we serve an amazing God, a God who perpetually wooed us when we were lost, and continues to woo us when we lose our way. So let's turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 2. We'll be reading from verses 14 to 23, and also the first three verses of chapter 3. So I'll be reading from the ESV version. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her her vineyards, and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. And I will make them for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the fields, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and the war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety. And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And that day I will answer it, declares the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. And the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. And I will sow her for myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. And the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel. Though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer, and a thek of barley, and I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you. Amen. So for those who are less familiar with the book of Hosea, it follows the personal story of the prophet Hosea, who God directs to marry a woman of whoredom named Gomer, who knowingly will be unfaithful to him. Hosea's relationship with Gomer is meant to be a symbolic representation of God's representation with Israel during this time, as we are dealing with an Israel that is spiritually corrupt. In chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, it says, there is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. So this is the time when Hosea is doing his ministry. This is the Israel that he's dealing with. So eventually, Hosea obeys God's command and marries Gomer and bears three children, which he names Jezreel, which means to scatter, and this is prophetic because later on the people of Israel will be exiled and scattered outside across the land. The second kid is called No Mercy, and the third is Not My People. So not your conventional names for your children. And based on the text, it's actually unclear whether the second and third child is Hosea's. It's just not very clear. And throughout the first three chapters of the book of Hosea, we see that Gomer continues to be unfaithful to Hosea and eventually runs away. But despite all this, God directs Hosea to pursue after Gomer. So I only have 2 points for today based on Hosea. And the first point is this. God's love for us is intense, and his character is wants to be in an intimate relationship with us. In the passage we read in chapter 2, God is speaking to the people of Israel. Or as suggested by one of the commentators that I read, it's actually sung to the people of Israel. And if you read the first few lines, it says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her." The word allured is usually, in the Oxford Dictionary, means to charm, it means to powerfully attract or tempt. So you could think about it like when you're first trying to pursue someone to go on a date with you. That is sort of the relationship that God is trying to, what God is trying to do with Israel. But let's take a step back, because what has happened at this point? Israel has already proved to be unfaithful. This is not a new love. God knows who Israel is. Israel has proven to be unfaithful. But God says, I will still allure her. I will still want to pursue her like it's my very first love. And I also turn to you to another verse in chapter 2. It says, "And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more." So we all, most of us know that the name Baal refers to the idols that are not God. But in Hebrew, the name Baal also comes from the word master, and the two words sound alike. So the Baals, the idols of the nations, wanted a master-slave relationship with man. And by all means, God can have that same relationship with his people. At the end of the day, the people have been unfaithful to him. God gave everything to the people of Israel, and the people did not reciprocate. So God, in his power, if he wanted to, he could change that relationship just like that to a master and slave relationship. But that's not the relationship that our God wants. The relationship that God wants is a husband and wife relationship. He wanted to restore the relationship so that there could be intimate fellowship. And I was reminded of Ephesians 5:25. It says, "Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." That is the relationship that God wants with the people of Israel and with us. And I also turn you to the verse in chapter 2 where it says, "And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." This passage really reinforces that God wants to renew and restore that intimacy in that relationship. And the most interesting thing about this particular verse, it says, "You shall know the Lord." Where else have we seen this particular use of the word know? In Genesis 4:1, it says, "Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived." And Matthew 1:25, it says, "Joseph knew her, Mary, not until she had borne a son." So even though the people of Israel have been unfaithful, God wants to renew that relationship, that intimacy, so that that the people of Israel would withhold nothing from God. God wants to completely bridge the distance between him and the people of Israel. So the second point I also want to share is this. is that when we were faithless and while we continue to be unfaithful, God continued to love us and paid a price for us. So I'm going to, from verse chapter 3, it says, "And the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a thek of barley, and I said to her, "You must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man, so will I also be to you." Let's take a moment to reflect upon this for a moment. What is your natural reaction to dealing with someone who has been unfaithful to you, who has continued to hurt you? My natural reaction is probably over time, it'll be, you know, "I'm done with you, good riddance, go away." That's my natural reaction. And maybe by the grace of God, over time, I'll be like, "Okay, I forgive you." But this is not what God tells Hosea to do. Hosea, by law, could have just stoned Gomer. God tells Hosea to go again after Gomer. Notice the word "again." It's not the first time. Go again after Gomer to love her and then to pay for her. And probably pay for her more than what Hosea could actually afford. Because if you notice, he paid 15 shekels of silver, but he also needed to pay using barley as well, which suggests that he might not have had enough cash resources to pay for Gomer. And the interesting thing about this this amount, the silver and the barley combined, is that it's the equivalent of the amount that you would use to pay for a slave. So what does this have to do with us? If Hosea's personal story is meant to be a reflection of God's pursuit and love of his people, the clearest example is what he asked his son to do on the cross. In Hosea, Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. Hosea pursued her. Hosea loved her. Hosea paid the price to restore her freedom. What did God do for us and for the people of Israel? While we're unfaithful to him, and while we continue to disobey him, God pursued us. God loved us. God asked his one and only son to pay for the price of our sins on the cross. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So I actually like to invite Sarah to come up for worship. And I'd just like you to spend some time as Sarah leads us in worship to reflect upon your journey that has brought you here to church this morning or to listen to this recording. Just a bit of personal testimonies that I grew up in a Christian family, but for many years I turned away from God. I was faithless. I was, and a lot of times still is, Gomer and Israel when my eyes are not wholly on God. But despite this, God pursued me. God loved me. God sent his only one and only son to die on the cross for me. God gave me life so that I can be here to share the good news with you today. So spend a moment to reflect upon the times where your eyes have not been completely focused on God. Because even during those times where you were ashamed to face God, remember that God's heart is to pursue after you, to love you, and to be in a relationship with you. Because this is God's character. This is God's character, and that we can fully trust him, and that he is worthy of our praise.
like a breath, you breathe your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. For I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so
Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters and loved ones who are going through cancer, who have going through cancer treatment and chemo and radiation therapy. Let's also pray for our loved ones who are suffering from illness, but also who need salvation. Pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering from illnesses. We just pray for God to release His healing upon them. Let's also pray for our brothers and sisters who are looking for work. Let's pray for God to open the right doors and that they'll be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit when the doors open. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for China, PUNSU and SP Beijing, and our future SP Shanghai plant with Pastor Ricky. We also pray for the Chong family, which Matt and Nate's parents, and the churches in China. For the board, Pastor Sam, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, Ken, Sue, myself, and Monica. Just pray that we'll have unity and we'll have clarity, and that we'll be able to hear what God wants us to do for this church. Also pray for our fellowship ministries, young adults, single life workshop from January 6th to March 25th, and Yahweh Eats. We also lift up the men's ministry, Monday morning prayer, Pure Desire, men's fraternity, and also the women's ministry, Lift, and the women's discipleship. Let's lift up SP 2.0. Let's pray for the new building and the benefactor. We just pray that as a board we'll manage the vision and fund wisely, and that also we'll just pray for the renovations on the third and sixth floor to continue smoothly. Finally, let's just lift up the house churches that are meeting today. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, and TST. I just pray that Yeah, the Holy Spirit will be in each and every one of the house churches. So, Father God, just thank you for this morning. Just thank you for your reckless love. Thank you for chasing after us every time that we have been lost or we lose our way. You still come after us, and you still paid the price for us, Lord God. Father God, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. Bless your spirits to connect with the Holy Spirit, to lead your body and soul, your soul, and that you will grow into the fullness of what God has in store for you. Thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.